All right, church. Good evening. How are we doing?
Good.
Doing good? You guys ready? You guys are always ready. You know what I love about Wednesday? I'm just going to go on a side note, right? Real quick. You guys take us like past the outer courts, right? It's like now we're deep in. Because these are the people that, like, I always see this in youth, but I don't really get to tell you guys. The kids in the youth right now that are studying God's word, they're like the best kids. It's kind of different. Like, it's like these kids, like, they're the ones with the hands going up after you ask them a question, they know it. They're like always eager. They want to participate in the sermon. Like, that's what I like Wednesday church, right? But it's the same thing here. It's like you guys made your way 35W, 820, whatever you guys found a way to get here, right? And we're here now, and we're going to enjoy it, and we're going to see God work, amen?
Amen?
All right. But first, why am I up here, right? Why am I up here? Obviously, I'm filling in for Pastor Thomas. Pastor Thomas has a fever. He just, you know, he got sick, you know, and Pastor Bill was caring for his sister, and, you know, it's like today, there's a battle for Wednesdays. That's why it's important that I tell you, thank you for being here, right? And also the people that are watching online, we welcome you guys. We're so thankful that you're here because we know that you fought to get here. Things got in the way, right? Things got in the way, but you're here, right? There's some people that are not here because they're sick, right? They couldn't be here. You know, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Cisco and his wife Carissa, you know, we're praying for them. You know, they're in the almost, like, I think close to the end of the second trimester of their pregnancy, and so things are getting a little rough for them. But we're going to pray through it, right? Also for Miss Teresa, who is always faithful to be serving the little kids. Her, Miss Danielle, my wife, they're always there, right? Serving. Her mom is also in the hospital with fractures. And it's like, man, how can, Lord, you need help. And so we're here as a body of believers, right? Those who are not just your regular Sunday attendees. You guys want to go deep in the word, right? But also you are here as intercessors, as people who know what prayer is about. Know the value of prayer, the value of intercession. And so we want to start off tonight by praying for those who are sick, those who are struggling, things that are happening that we have no control of. And the only thing we can do is just like Jehoshaphat, right? Jehoshaphat was surrounded by his enemies, surrounded by circumstance, right? And what did he say? He says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen. So let's pray first, and we'll get into it. Lord, we thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and approach your throne room of grace that we might find help. And so, Lord, we stand in the gap. We intercede for those who are physically sick, physically hurting, God. Lord, would you touch their bodies? Would you send your healing touch upon their lives? Would you just intervene, God, in a way that would bring relief for the situations where we can do nothing. Money can't solve it. Nothing can solve it. Only you know, God. Lord, you know what we have need of before we even ask. And so, Lord, we come to you as our Abba, as our Father, asking you, God, to intervene, to intercede, to do something powerfully, Lord, in the midst of the people that are hurting right now, that are sick right now. Lord, we pray for these individuals by name, but also the unknown requests. Lord, as if you've told us to bring our requests to you, to bring the sick to the elders of the church that we may anoint them with oil and pray for them, God. We do that now, Lord. We bring you every care, every worry, God, to your feet. And we ask, Lord, that by your mercy and by your grace, God, you would help. Help, Lord. Help, God. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right, church, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, I'll be reading and teaching from the New King James. But before I get into that, we're going to be looking at some parables today. And you probably have heard and maybe attended various Bible studies and have seen this text taught so many different ways, right? It's a parable. It's something that's cast alongside something else to proclaim a kingdom principle. And as I looked at it, I was like, side note, there's a lot of things that shape the sermon, okay? Like a lot of life shapes what gets preached every Wednesday and every Sunday, whether you're here or you're in the youth, right? Life happens and it shapes our sermons. And one day I was trying to explain to our daughters why we do what we do. And after giving them like what I thought was the best answer, right? I had a moment to myself. And I asked myself the question, if I wasn't a pastor, if I wasn't in ministry, if I was just a regular old Christian, what would life look like for me on a Sunday morning? And I had to ask myself that question, like, what would be different? And, like, I like to, you know, I watched cartoons when I was a kid, and there's always, like, the little angel and the little devil. You guys remember that? Right? Tom and Jerry, you know, you always had those two things, and that's real. That's real. That's not just a cartoon. It's real life. You can listen to the flesh and you can listen to the spirit. And two different outcomes come from that, right? And if I listen to the flesh, you know what the flesh told me? This is what you would do, Hector. I have a plan for you. You're going to find the earliest service, 7 o'clock maybe, in the morning on a Sunday morning. And you're going to go to that sermon. And you're going to go in, you're going to walk in, say hi to everybody, and walk out. And that's it. And that's all you're going to do from now until kingdom come. And I was like, that sounds very easy. Like, so simple, right? Just find the earliest service, check the box, get it out of the way, and enjoy your Sunday. Very easy, very tempting, but so boring. Because on the other side, I'm like, man, but I would miss out on preaching to the kids. I would miss out on serving. I would miss out on, you know, like talking and to the older folk, and they're like, hey, Pastor Hector, and they're like, you know, I'm like smelling the good food on the way out, right? You know, everything, you'd miss out on it. You'd miss out on the interactions out in the parking lot, saying hi to every, like, all of that goes kind of away because you're just there to check in and check out. And that question is leading me to the text that we're in today. Right? Because it's so easy. It's so easy to do Christianity without it really being Christianity? And I'll answer that question here in a few moments. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him. So he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to the disciples, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive.' For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children, acknowledging who you are, God. Acknowledging that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us, that we might have a relationship with you, that we might be in fellowship with the Son, and that we may receive the Holy Spirit and be transformed, shaped into the image of our Savior. And so, Lord, today, we want to increase in that. We've read your word. Now, Lord, may you speak loud and clear to your church. May you help me teach and preach in a way that's faithful, God, to you, communicating your heart to your people. Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Fill this place. Teach us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Matthew, in this chapter, is beginning Jesus' third major discourse. From this point on, there's a shift in the way that Jesus is going to be speaking to the public and be speaking to his disciples. Jesus turns his focus and his teaching away from the mixed multitude and is now specifically speaking to those who are following him close, to his apprentices, to his students, his pupils, right? His disciples. He's turning to them and unveiling to them kingdom principles. He's preparing his students for their role in the kingdom. Like I said, in this chapter, he switches his teaching style. He begins to teach in parables. The Greek word is parabole, and that is to cast alongside. It's a juxtaposition, a comparison. It is to taking of a kingdom principle and placing it alongside a real-time example for our understanding. It's like when Jesus talks to fishermen in the way that fishermen would understand. Or he talks to mason workers in the way that mason workers were, carpenters in the way that carpenters would understand. So let's take a look at this parable. Jesus has got multitudes before him, so much so that he has to get on a boat. Just think of a shore filled with people. And he's like, well, I kind of need some space here so that I can teach correctly, so that everyone will hear me. So I'm going to get on a boat and just paddle out a little bit so that I could see everyone. And he says, behold, a sower went out to sow. Like every Sunday morning, a sower will go out to sow. Every Wednesday evening, a sower will go out to sow. Sometimes in your workplaces, a sower will go out to sow. With your family, a sower will go out to sow. And he sowed, and the seed fell in four different places. The wayside, the stony places, among thorns, and some fell on good ground. But before we get into the four types of soils, I want to take a look at the why Jesus is changing his style of teaching. Why is he doing so? And he explains it to us there. I mean, even the disciples are like, Jesus, what? Like, what's going on, bro? Like, you're speaking in parables now. Like, these are too deep for us. And what does he say? He begins to unveil to them that there are two types of people, you and them. You and them. I love the separation that it causes here. Maybe right now you're like, am I you? Or am I them? Like, where do you fall in that division? To you it was given, verse 11. To you it was given. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Okay, so now we begin to define who the you and who the them are. They're people who understand God's word and people who do not understand God's word or can't comprehend it. To you it was given. Those are the ones who are listening, not just hearing. You're listening. On a Wednesday, on a Sunday, You come here ready to not just hear, but to listen. My wife reminds me that that's a big difference. To hear and to listen, right? Imagine Pastor Bill up here, and he's got an AR-15, right? And he's just like, every verse, like, bam, bam, right? Bam, bam, bam. And then, is it penetrating? Or is it just like bouncing off because you're not even listening? It's just like, just nicking off of you, right? Or is it doing the work? Are the Bible verses doing a work in you? Are you listening? Now, I'm teaching the saints here. I'm teaching the people that I want to be here, right? But there's a vast difference of those who are here, who are listening, and those who are hearing. Those who are actively listening, those who are paying attention to the greatest teacher that ever lived, not me, not Pastor, not whoever's behind the pulpit here, but Jesus, right? Who's listening to the greatest teacher, right? The teacher of all things, the Holy Spirit. Those who are learning and following, hearing and listening, taking in and allowing the Word of God to wash us and change us from the inside out. That is you in this text. But then there's them. To them, it has not been given. You're like, God, why wouldn't you give them understanding? Like, why wouldn't you open their eyes? Why? What is it? What is it about these people that there's a different result, right? There's a different result here. Some are those who understand the mysteries of the kingdom, and there are those who do not understand why, if they have the same tools, same makeup, their souls are there for the saving. Why? They are those who see all that God is doing and they turn a blind eye to it. They see people serving around them and they're just like, yeah, that's not for me. One day I was serving along this little punk kid in England, right? And I was like, I love this kid to death. To this day, I love him. Right? One day I was like, bro, come out here and put your hands to the plow, man. We're out here sweating. He's like, my bro. He goes, these hands weren't made for labor. I was like, repent, bro. Right now, before God and before man, you need to repent. What do you mean they weren't made for? You have some skinny little hands, bro. Get out here and get some calluses on them. You know what I mean? I'm like, what's going on? He saw what was going around, but he didn't do anything about it. There are those who hear the word of God, but aren't listening to the options it's presenting. There are those who are near, physically speaking, but chasms away, spiritually speaking. It is those that Jesus brings up in Isaiah chapter 6. He says, they hear, but they don't understand. And so they live a very passive Christianity, just checking off a box, finding that early service on Sunday so that it could be easy for you. But isn't that boring? There are those who see, but they don't perceive what Jesus and the Holy Spirit is trying to do in their lives. Their hearts, the hearts of the people have grown dull, mentally unable to understand. Their ears are hard of hearing, deaf to the promises of God that change us. Every time we speak, whether it's myself, Pastor, all the pastors here that get up here behind the pulpit, our goal is to honor the Lord with the Word of God, right? To be faithful to the Scriptures. And for that reason, we study ourselves, approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, right? But in doing so, we would like to see, we desire a result to come out of it. It's not just for us to preach and give you all of this theology so that you could be smart. It's for you to apply and for you to be shaped and molded into more and more like Jesus. It's not about having a high theology, though you will, naturally you will. Listening from what comes from this pulpit, you will naturally have a high Bible IQ. It's gold. But it needs to translate to action. It needs to translate into the Great Commission. It needs to translate to act, like, not passive, not hard of hearing, not dull-hearted Christianity, but active, doing. Most of us are like, yeah, I'm not on the them. I'm listening. You know, I come to church. I serve on the team. I have to come to two services, right? I'm here available for people, to pray with people, to love on people. Heck, I stopped rooting for the Cowboys just so I have more Sunday to love people, right? I cleared my schedule. As Pastor Bill tells every pastor, as we saw when Pastor Cisco got ordained, right? He's like, you've just relinquished your calendar, my friend. As a pastor, we relinquish our calendar. We make room for God to work in the lives of others. We make time to invest in others, to love on others, make ourselves available to serve. Whether it's me and Mr. Paul hanging wreaths and trying to figure out all these knots and fishing line, you should have seen us. Remember those wreaths for Christmas? It took us like a whole day. And I mean, he's a veteran. I would expect that from me, right? But not from a veteran that served our country. I was like, Paul, come on, bro. You served our country, man. We got to figure this out, you know? Sometimes, and here's where we're going to get a little bit deeper into the water, okay? So prepare yourselves. I know you guys are making room. I know you guys are serving. Most of the kids in the youth, like my kids always call, oh, it's just the serving kids. What does that mean? They're the kids of the people that serve here regularly. Oh, it was just the serving kids today. Oh, cool. It's like 12. It's weird. It's 12 of them? All right. 12 disciples, whatever, right? But it's amazing. And they all have something in common. They know the value of church, right? A question for us here. An example to take us a little bit deeper. How many of us have ever been rebuked or told that we're wrong? Raise your hands. Oh, okay. All of us. Right? We've all messed up. We've all fallen short. Thank you for being honest, by the way. Right? I would have had to rebuke you for not being honest. But thank you for being honest, because it's true. We all fall short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. And sometimes when that rebuke comes, right, how you know you are the you is you accept it. And you say, you know what? I did mess up. And I'm sorry for misrepresenting Christ. I'm sorry that I'm, how can I make this right? Who do I need to talk to? Right? We accept it. But on the other side, the them would be as if somebody calls you out on your sin, and you're like, no way, man, I didn't do that. And you don't receive it. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say that. And you lie about it. And you cover your sin, just like David did with Bathsheba and sending Uriah to the front lines. There's two reactions to when we are called out on our sin. And it'll tell if you are you or if you are them. Because see, on the you side, you're like, yes, I messed up and I have an advocate. And I know I got to get right. I know I got to fix this about my life. I got to stop doing thus and so, and I got to start doing this and that, right? And you say that. You communicate to that person, hey, look, I know it. I messed up. I'm sorry. Can you help me? Can you hold me accountable in being better, right? That's a great Christian attribute to following Jesus, where you accept that you messed up and you work together, right? You work together with the person that accused you. Isn't that fun? Like, think about that for a second and say, hey, can we work together in this? That specific, that you won't find that anywhere else in any other religion. It's just here. It's in Scripture. Matthew 18, isn't it? Where you work together. The end result of a rebuke is not division, but fellowship. It's not to be like, oh, yeah, you're over there now. I don't want to talk to you anymore. No, it's how do we make this right? Right? On the other hand, is you causing division because you got called out on your sin. That is an example of you having ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart that beats, and you not accepting what the Bible says about your sinfulness. That's them. See, there's a mixed multitude. There's you, there's the disciples, right? And they understand it because they've been following Jesus. The medicine here is to follow Jesus. That you may have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive words of rebuke, words of encouragement. Church, and I'm speaking to y'all because you guys are the core of the church. You guys are the saints of the church. It's almost like we're the ones setting examples, right? Like Pastor Bell always talks about first service, second service. We all know who the holier ones are, right? First service, of course, right? The second service, they're like, oh, they're coming in, you know, late. You know, I'm just kidding. I'm going to stop there. But it goes deeper, right? You have first and second service, and you have Wednesday service. I'm telling you, if we set an example for the church, if we set an example for the world on how to handle mistakes, the mistakes, your own mistakes and the mistakes of others, the people will know that we love them, right? Hey, brother, I come to you in love. I don't just want to call you out on your sin, but I want to help us. I want to help, though you sinned against me, I want to help us get better so it doesn't happen again. And to show the world what reconciliation is, because I'm supposed to not like you after what you did. Right? We're supposed to be button heads from here on out. But what if we handled this biblically, right? What if we let the word of God fall on good soil? What if you let rebuke fall on good soil? Wouldn't we have a different result? And now we're partnering with people. We have people around us who we've worked through the mistakes. Do you think that unites us more? Right? It unites us more. Having worked through challenges and barriers and gone over things and still loved one another. That's what being the you is allowing the Word of God to penetrate, to do a work in us that we might behave ourselves like Christians. Not calling each other. There's so much division. The one thing I hate about social media is that all of the division that is just exposed or communicated. It's like, oh man, it's so disheartening. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah calls out those who have the ability to change, but they don't. Bless you. We can be those people. We can be blind. We can have dull hearts. We can be deaf. We can lack understanding, all while sitting in a pew, all while being in church. So how do we change this? How do we change this story? Having read this, I mean, this is not the first time you've read this text, right? You've read it before. Hundreds of times. I've studied it tens of times. Right? Preached it a dozen of times. And the reason why I find value in it is because I've learned how to behave as a Christian when things get hard. Because I have to the first filter of every situation, of all the drama, of everything that happens, the first filter is, okay, what does God's word say about it? And what do I have to do because I'm a follower of Jesus? Oh, I have to forgive and I have to forget? Okay. I have to forgive and I have to forget. I can forgive, but the forget part, man, I struggle with that. As we look at this text, sometimes I've heard it taught in a way where it's like, you know, when I go preach the gospel and there's just, you know, an event and I'm preaching the gospel and there's going to be stony places and the wayside and the thorns and there's going to be the good ground and those who hear on the good ground, those are going to get saved, right? And that is very true. That's very true. But what about when we turn to the disciples and AKA Wednesday church? And we look at the disciples and we're like, okay, how do we level up? How do we grow in this text? We must allow the Word of God to continue to penetrate and continue to shape our words and our actions on a day-to-day basis. On Sundays, on Wednesdays, at our share groups, men's study, women's study, heart-to-heart, everything, right? We are to be the light of the world. The sower goes out to sow seed, and it falls on different soil. Jesus is the medicine. Being with Jesus is the answer. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and let me give you rest. How long have I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chickens, but you would not have it? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but you've yet to come to me that you would have eternal life. Jesus is gathering his people for a purpose. He's the medicine. He's what we need. He's our greatest need, if you will. He's the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He's the mediator between God and man. He's a lover of your soul. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's by whom you have been created, that you might proclaim to the world that you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And as a sower goes out to sow, the seeds, the promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, we must prepare the soil of our hearts that we would receive and be fruitful with every promise that has been given to us. See, sometimes we see this as rules to follow. What if we saw this as promises, as treasure to be unlocked, to open up and find new things about God, find new attributes? Oh, you want to heal me? Yes, I want to heal you. At the end of Isaiah, what does it say? It says that you would in turn, that you would be healed by God, he says. Currently, we're going through Proverbs with the youth. And here's Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 11, just unveiled to me so much about our youth and maybe even about our congregation as a whole. Okay? Solomon, speaking to his son, says, "My son, if you receive my words and you treasure my commands within you." That's a big question, man. That's a big if. Son, if you receive my, again, kind of like what Jesus is talking about here, right? There's a big if between you and them. There's a chasm between the two. There's division. There's a wall between the two. Solomon says, if you receive my words and you treasure them, you treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom. That means you're actually doing something to unlock wisdom, to receive wisdom. You have to incline your ear. You have to press in, right? You don't incline by just being in the back and just like, that's retreat. Right? Going this way. You're retreating. If you're inclined, you're like, wait, what did he say? Wait, what was that promise? Hey, Carol, what was that verse? What did you say? Right? You're inclining your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Notice how they're physical parts, right? Your ear, your heart. If you cry out for discernment, right? You're using the tools that you've been given. What do we tell babies? Kids, use your words. Tell me what's wrong, right? God is speaking to his church. Use your words. Cry out for discernment. Lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Let's stop right there. Are we searching for his wisdom, for his word, for his promises as treasure? It is only then that you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. He's communicating that to his son so that his son wouldn't make the same mistakes that he did. How many of us want that for our children? Right? But we can't give them what we haven't received. We can't wrap a gift. Right? When you wrap a gift, you know what's there. Right? You've seen it. You've seen it. They don't know, but you've seen it. and you wrapped it for them. What if we were to take life's experiences for our kids and say, hey, look, this is what I went through, and these are the promises of God that could have changed that result, right? Maybe you don't have kids. What about your neighbor? What about your family members? What about your friends? It's like, hey, I've been there with you. I've seen, I know what you're going through, and I have something to give to you. I found it as treasure. I remember when it was silver to me. It was something that had value to me, and it changed the outcome. Here it is. It's found in this verse. It might not mean much, but I can tell you, it changed my life. Why? Because it penetrated. Because you heard. Because you saw what God wanted to do in your life. And you had eyes to see and perceive that that was good for you. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for you're seeing this all come to pass. But there are some people who didn't get to see this. They didn't get to see all the promise. Imagine being Daniel and teleporting there to the manger. It's like, I remember saying that. And oh my goodness, it is coming to pass. Or being Zechariah, and you're just chilling on the hill there, and all of a sudden, there's a guy on a donkey, and everyone's singing Hosanna. You're like, wait a second, I remember that. I remember saying that. What if you were Isaiah, and you were amongst the crowds, and you were seeing the lame healed and the blind seeing and the broken hearts mended? How blessed would you be? Right? That's what Jesus is saying here. He's like, man, there's some people that they would have given everything to see these prophecies come to pass. Well, now in hindsight, we know that God's word is true and that he is faithful. So why would we think that he wouldn't mend hearts and that he wouldn't heal the sick or that he wouldn't save the lost if we've seen it done? We've seen it done. We've experienced that for ourselves. Why not our neighbor? Why not our friends? Why not the people that are way different than us? Jesus is opening eyes to see what was once veiled. Some would believe it, and some would take it for granted. And that is why we must be good stewards of the time we spend in church and allow the word of God. We need to prepare the soil of our hearts that everything, what is preached from here, changes our lives for the sake of the kingdom. You're already going to heaven. But what about the people that aren't? If we prepare the soil, every word that goes out, every promise that is preached from here will fall on good soil. But on the other hand, we might just be coming to church and we walk through those doors and we're the wayside. We're the stony ground. We're the thorns. Where we're not even letting the seed take root and be fruitful, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. See, I was talking to Pastor Bill about this, is that the preacher will prepare and preach his heart out. We'll leave it all on the altar. But one thing we can't control is the result. And praise God for that. Praise God that it's He brings the harvest, right? He's in charge of that. All we can do is prepare the soil. Right? Especially here, we have clay. Man, trying to build a garden in Texas is the hardest thing, right? It's like, man, you almost need an excavator. Like, it's almost like your the neighbors are like, hey, are you building a pool? No, I'm building a garden. You know, it's like, I need to reset the soil to be fruitful, or else everything's going to die. Spiritually speaking, are we preparing our hearts to receive the word of God that every time it gets preached, every time it goes forward, it brings forth fruit 160 and 30-fold? You never know what a sermon is going to do to the listener. But this is what we do know, that the sower is going to go out to sow. You have faithful pastors at this church that are willing to sow and sow and sow for your benefit, that you would be fruitful. It's not for us. We've already seen the fruit of the text in our lives. We're just giving you presents to unwrap, right? So the question is are we going to see church and serving Jesus with soil that is stony, clay even, where there's thorns there, right? And I can go in and describe all of this to you. What it does, the cares of this world come in, choke it out. Why? Because Satan is your enemy. Satan is your foe. We get in trouble when we make him our ally. Don't make Satan wants to rip you off of every present and every treasure that God has already written for you to open. It's here. Don't be spiritually poor when the presents are all here for you to open. Be rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in fellowship with the Son, as we're learning on Sundays in 1 John, to have a real relationship with Jesus, right? Real life, eternal life. The variable can sometimes be understanding. Praise God that we have the Holy Spirit who helps us understand all things under heaven and earth. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Interesting. And they cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we're not going to understand the promises of God. They're only discerned through the Spirit. It's foolish to others because they don't have ears to hear or eyes to see. In John 16:33, it says, these things that Jesus is saying, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You will see the stony places in this world. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember we talked about doing life with the person that's calling you out. Sometimes Jesus calls us out, right? And he says, hey, I didn't come, right? I love John 3:16, but I love John 3:17. I did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through me may have life. I love that. Like, God isn't here to be a bummer on your party. He's here to change your life. He's not here to just call you out, but to say, hey, let's figure this out together. Be of good cheer. The person who has overcome the world, death, sin, the devil, the grave, wants to do life with you. He's the lover of your soul. Church, verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me and I in you, that you may bear fruit. And here, he explains to us, if the soil is good, you'll receive what is good. You'll receive the good word and you'll bear fruit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, God, for your faithfulness to us, to speak to us, Lord, to move us in the right direction, to give us energy to make a move, to open up our eyes and our ears, that we would be changed by your promises, God. Lord, they are yes and amen for a reason. You are for us, and you're not against us, God. And so, Lord, I pray for every soul listening that we would invite your promises into our hearts, into our lives, that we may receive the words and treasure your commands, that we would have wisdom and understanding for the time that we have on this earth. Would you help us, Lord? Help us be good stewards of our time. Help us be good representatives of who you are, God, to this lost and dying world, that many would get saved and come to know you and have understanding about this parable and your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Love you, church.